my heart. And it came a little bit unexpectedly. See, to be honest, I was reading the Bible, which is always quite good and interesting to do. Oh, there's an alarm going off. Hold on a wee second. Yep, yep. That even encourages you just a little bit more, doesn't it? I was reading the Bible, I was reading the Old Testament, and I read something as I was skimming through that script, the scriptures that was there, that said, rise in the present age. And I thought, oh, that's good. Oh, that'll preach. Oh, that's like a download from heaven. And it dropped into my heart, and then I kind of thought, read on a little bit and thought, oh, I need to go back to see it. And I read it and I reread it. But what I thought it said wasn't what it said. Because what it actually says was rise in the presence of the aged. Which is a wee bit different. You know, I talked about politeness in the face of the senior people. You know, but this idea of rising in the present age, I was going to have that as a strap line for church for this year, and I thought, oh, some folks might accuse me of adding or taking away from Scripture, looking out a stone for the heretic. So I thought, well, we'll not do that. But it got me thinking about what it is to rise, or what it is to arise. And as I was reading through Scripture, then this well-worn, well-known Scripture from Isaiah chapter 60, it really did leap out the page to me. It really jumped out of the page to me. I did feel the Lord nudging me in this area of arise, that we needed to rise from where we're at, rise and step into what God wants us to be moving into in our lives as individuals, but also our life together as church. With a rise comes a time for change, a change of position, a change of posture, a change of prominence in our status. You know, God spoke to Isaiah to speak to the nation of Israel, and he was calling them on a journey. He was calling them to remember who God was, but to remember who they were as the people of God. How often and how quickly we forget who we are and who we are supposed to be, and the high calling that we are to live up to as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible tells me that I'm seated in heavenly realms alongside Christ Jesus. Now, I understand that scripturally. I understand it, you know, theoretically in my head, but how often do we actually live in that place? With the full authority and the full rights as being children of God and sons and daughters of God, with the full rights of being heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. And sometimes it's not easy to arise, is it? If you're down, it's not easy necessarily to get up. Sometimes it's a little bit of discomfort. Maybe you're sitting in the sofa, and you need to get up to go somewhere, and you maybe need somebody to help you. You maybe need a couple attempts to kind of rock and get up. There maybe needs to be a little bit of determination that says, and I very nearly showed a clip that Heather's found in the internet. It's of a little hamster climbing a set of stairs. And it's about 2.5 million views. You must be able to find it quite easily if you go onto the internet. And this little hamster, and he stretches right up, and the little claws just manage to reach the top of the next stair, and he pulls himself up. And no sooner has he got onto the tread of that stair, he needs to go back to the next riser, and he needs to stretch up again, and he needs to pull himself up. Maybe we'll get permission to show it, and I'll show it over the next couple of weeks as we're thinking about this. But there needs to be a determination that says, you know what, I'm going to arise. Yeah. God calls it, I'm going to arise. God speaks it over my life, I'm going to arise, and I'm not going to let anything hold me back. You know, the next thing is that to arise is a verb. It is a doing word. It is a word that involves action. It is not a noun that is a naming word. It is a verb that involves action. Now, I understand that few people like change. You know, it's easy for us to get comfortable. It's easy for us to become familiar with a routine. But when the change comes, and when the order for the change is something that is divine, something that's from heaven, something that is God leading you on to His next best for us. Because, to be honest, is this it? Is this it, church? Is this it, church? Is this it, church? Is this as good? I mean, I know it's good. But is this it? Is this as good as it gets this side of heaven? Because if it is, Maranatha. Come, Lord, come quickly. There's more in God. There's more in God for you. He's calling you to arise. Our Father in heaven is calling to our hearts. He's calling to the core and the depths of our being to invite us on to the next step of our faith adventure. In fact, He's inviting us on to the next rung of our faith adventure. We are called to arise, church. Are you ready to arise? Is there some discipline, some determination, some ready for a little bit of discomfort as you begin to arise and begin to get up the steps, begin to be in the place where God needs you to be, where God wants you to be, where God calls you to be? I'm preaching this message this morning, and I knew what I'd written as my alarm clock went off this morning. And right down in the top of my second page of notes, I've got, it's wakey wakey, there's no more 5 more minutes. And as my alarm went off this morning, I was thinking, I know I've got to preach this word, I can't have another 5 minutes. Even though the duvet was calling to me, even though it was a nice warm place, it was a shame, a real pull to get me up out of bed this morning, but I got there, I was there well ahead of most of you. Yeah, something like that. But there's scripture that we're thinking of. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3 says this: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Where does His glory appear, church? Oh, say it as though you mean it. Say it as though it's the prospect of the reality of the fullness of the kingdom of God being poured out into your life and into your situation. If we don't believe it for us, no one else is. He wants to shine His glory in your life. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The Message translation puts it like this: Get out of bed, Jerusalem. Get out of bed. There's a reason that my alarm was going. Because God has given us a wake-up call. It's not just a random thing. He's saying, get out of bed, Jerusalem. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. Can I encourage you in your life this morning to open wide the curtains? Or at least, if it's anything like our house, to lift the corner of the blind, just to see, just to make sure the street's still there. You know, you don't know if it disappears overnight, or that moment where you know it's due to have been snowing, you just look and see, is there snow in the ground? To open wide the curtains of your heart to the light of God and to the glory of God in your life, to begin to just lift the blind of your life to look and see, because the moment that you catch a glimpse of the glory of God, you cannot be the same as you were. You cannot be the same as you were. There's something that whets your appetite. There's something that draws you closer about the authentic glory of God. The Amplified Bible says this. The Amplified Version says, Arise from the depression, the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine and be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let me say that again, church. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life and shine. And the imagery is not just of lying on a bed and becoming awake, but lying in a grave and being called to resurrection life. Isn't that what Jesus won for us? resurrection life, to live a life that's different. So I want to say to you, if you've been living with the pressures, with the problems, with the things that would want to hold you back and keep you down, today is your day. Today is a new day in God. Today is a moment for you to begin to arise and to shine, because the alarm clock's going. The alarm clock is shining, are telling you it's time to get up and it is time to shine. Your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It is time to step up. It is time to move up another rung. I don't care whether you feel as though you're on the ground or whether you're on the first rung. It's time to take another step. It's time to dare to believe God for another step of the journey. It's time to arise, church, and it's time to shine. What needs to change around about you in order for you to shine that little bit better and a little bit brighter for Jesus? For most of us, some of the things that are around about us that are stopping us from shining and stopping us from arising, most things we can change. Now, not everything. I recognize that and I understand that, and I know there are things that only the Lord God Almighty can do. That's why He is God and you're not. But will we trust Him in the areas that we can't change ourselves? Say, God, would you change it, or God, would you change me through this process and through this journey? I am going to arise. I'm going to step up. I'm going to step up. I'm going to step up. Yeah, we did risk assess this. With the whole thing of, you're the pastor, he might take care of you. Other versions of Scripture say, get up and stand up. They say, get up and stand up. I've asked other people to set their alarms to go as a wake-up call to us all. Get up and stand up, because ultimately there is an upward trajectory in God. There is an upward trajectory in God that we are called to be on if you're a servant, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that takes us closer and closer to Him, higher and higher in the things of God, to soar on those wings as eagles, to be seated in heavenly realms alongside Christ Jesus, to know what He calls us to. Some folks thought I was going to be preaching on Lazarus, who too was a very small man. But it's the upward trajectory in God that we're thinking about. Whether you're in a bed of comfort, whether you're in a bed of compromise, whether you're in a bed of the choices that you or other people around about you have made that have dictated into and spoken into your life or spoken over your life, that's trying to stop you and keep you down and keep you in the bed, keep you in the grave, it is time to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord rises upon you. That's another sign, say, stop. Whether it be emotions or circumstances that have tried to keep you down, there is an opportunity to move on, to move out, and to move up in God. I believe it with all my heart. It's not just a soundbite. It's not just something that looks good. Why? Because God invites us to taste and experience His glory. Now, we in the Western world, we've got an idea of what the glory of God looks like, and normally it's accompanied by an offering and a pledge, you know, that kind of comes in a flashy suit. And so we shy away from talking about the glory of God. You think, it's all about the razzmatazz, it's all about the emotion. I'm talking about the kabod of God, the Hebrew word kabod. It talks about weightiness, it talks about the heaviness. It talks about the richness and the value of the presence of God that invades our lives from heaven. And I'm talking about blessing of God, and I'm talking about, you know, the glory of God isn't just to make us feel all woe is me, although we may become acutely aware of our sin and getting right with Jesus when in those moments. The word kabod has this idea of something that is substantial, something that is heavy, something that is worth glory and honor. In fact, the idea of measuring of gold would be associated with that. And the invitation is to rise and shine, for the light has come and the kabod of God rises upon you, the weightiness of the presence of God. Now, normally if there's something holding you down, it's not going to lift you. You're not going to be able to get up from it. But with the weightiness of the glory of God, it's not the weightiness of the world. The weightiness of the glory of God causes you to rise to the next step, to rise to the next level. It causes you to arise and it causes you to shine. And that's the invitation for us to experience. I have a theory that lots of people walk away from church, but they don't walk away from God. And I have a theory that the thing that will draw them back, the thing that will see them brought back into the family of God and walking in obedience, because it's not right to be a Christian and not be part of a church, because church is God's plan and church is God's idea. I think that the authentic shining of the glory of God is a thing that calls into the depths of their hearts and makes them be able to see through the hurt, see through the problem, see through the rejection, whether it was a problem of their making, a problem of a church's making. And I speak in the church nationally and worldwide in that, you know, not just our place, because our church is great, right? Yeah. You know, but sometimes people get hurt and they walk away, but they don't walk away from God. There is an encouragement from this phrase to experience and to shine and to display the authentic glory of God. And it appeals to sinners. It appeals to wayward saints. And it encourages one another. It is fire that sparks fresh fire amongst the saints of God. Arise and shine, for your glory has come. Now, most of you know that we've got a brilliant wee dog, a dachshund called Cooper, who's Fraser's dog, and you know, but he gives me the privilege of walking him. Cooper loves sunlight. He absolutely adores sunlight. And in our house, the sun comes in the living room and our bedroom in the morning through to the afternoon. And if Cooper gets into the living room, Cooper will chase the wedge of sunlight. Well, it starts as a rectangle of sunlight beaming in. And as the sun moves round, then so this shaft of light moves round as well. But as the sun goes further and further round, it begins to get narrower and narrower. And Cooper will move round. He'll follow this light that is shining upon him. He will squeeze himself in our bedroom. We've got a little space between the wall where our wardrobe, our cupboard is, and a little nightstand or chest of drawers where the TV stand sits on. And Cooper, I've seen him wedge his tiny little tail and backside into that, because that is the thinnest wedge where the sunlight is. Because he is desperate to live in the light. He is desperate to have the light shine upon him. I mean, I think Bill and Winifred right now, they're in the trajectory of that light that's there, and they're doing their best to not have it shining and be blinded by the light. But Cooper, he will chase that light because he recognizes that the light is shining upon him, and he wants the light as part of his life. Can I move that analogy from a dog to a fella to a lady? Are you hungry for the light? Are you ready, as the light rises upon you, to be willing to be in the place where the light is? Because I tell you, the place where the light is the place where Jesus is, and that's the place where he wants you to be. It is the safest and the best place is the place where Jesus is, that's in our life. In this scripture, there are two commands. The command is to arise, and the command is to shine. You know, we really don't have a moment. We don't have a choice in that. If we're a follower of Jesus, then the command comes from the commander-in-chief, and is an order that comes from the above us, then it is our responsibility to say, yes, sir, or yes, Lord, and I'm going to do it. So the command to you as a Christian believer, and we've looked at lordship, discipleship, fellowship, and stewardship over these last number of weeks. The command from heaven is to arise and to shine. Church, that's a command. Are you rising and are you shining? Let me see those shining smiles. There are two statements as well. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Your light has come. That is past tense. The light is here. We live in a place where there's maybe some fog and mist and maybe a little bit of rain. But in the spiritual, the light has come and the light is shining. The light has come. When the enemy wants to tell you you're living in darkness, you need to remind him that the light has come. When your flesh maybe wants you to engage in something that might be sinful or might be wrong, because you think, oh, you're living in a place of darkness, you can remind yourself, actually, no, it doesn't matter, because it does matter, because the light is shining. There is still darkness, but the light is shining in me of the glory of God. Two statements: your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. That is present tense. Not just a moment in the past, or not just something that's going to be way in the future. It is now. Your status, your standing in God. It's here. You know, you're sitting in the seats, you're not, you know, three quarters of the way up a ladder, but it's here. You're called to arise, you're called to shine, for the glory of God has come and it rises upon you. I wonder, is the landscape and experience of your life glory soaked right now? If it isn't, it can be. You may not feel very glory-soaked right now in your life, in the situation. Maybe you're in that little bit of a desert or in that dark place, but I tell you, His light is shining on you, and His light shines in you. Church, what a privilege we've got. Jesus said He was the light of the world, but He invites His disciples to own the title that is His, because He points to His disciples and He says, you're the light of the world. He says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Or a pastor stood in a ladder cannot be hidden. A believer in their workplace cannot be hidden. A believer in their place of study cannot be hidden. A believer in their home cannot be hidden. Church, arise and shine. Arise and shine. If your life's not glory soaked, can I encourage you to take some steps to change that? Don't take God for granted. Cherish His presence. Now, if you're in community Bible experience, and one of those ways that you can be glory-soaked is already boxes tick because you're reading Scripture. You're engaging in fellowship and community to spur and encourage one another on. Rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord rises upon you. He says there's darkness on the earth, but He says there's great darkness in people, double darkness. And I appreciate that many of you may be working in situations that are dark, living amongst people where darkness is prevalent, but God doesn't operate to the world's agenda. God is not dominated by the darkness of the world. He calls us to shine, to find ways to shine our light. And like I was saying about for the guys from Teen Challenge, that we maybe think we're just being us, but in just being us in Jesus, we shine. We shine, and something of the glory of God is infectious in these guys' lives. How much more so in the places where you are, week to week and day by day and moment by moment. You shine for Him. When we arise and shine, we welcome His ability to make His difference through your life. See, there's a corporate responsibility to shine. Shine for you, but you're also shining for those that are in darkness around about you. We shine as we reflect and as we display His glory. Elaine didn't know what scriptures I was going to be turning to this morning, but she's already mentioned from John chapter 1. Let me read to you from John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I say to you, we don't just need to see His glory. As Pentecostal believers living at this side of the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we can experience His glory through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, enabling us to speak in tongues, releasing the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit in greater way, drawing us closer to the Lord, releasing those gifts of healing and of miracles and of faith and discernment, you know, and all those gifts that Paul writes about. All those ministry callings that are ours in Christ Jesus that He enables us in and equips us in, the teaching and the leading and the comforting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the glory of God that's resting and that's rising upon us. We don't just need to see His glory, although when we see His glory, we're never the same again. It's His glory that draws us, that reveals something of His majesty, something of His holiness, something of His godness that then causes us to question, why would this perfect God leave heaven and become sin and die on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven, so that you and I could have a hope, so you and I could have a future that is about arising and shining, for His glory has come. We had an electrician that came to the house this week. And that electrician came to do a couple of jobs and that was there. And one of the things that he was doing was repairing a security light that was out our back. We've got two security lights that's out our back. And there's one of the lights that's never worked from the day and hour that we moved into to our home, which is 5 years next month. So much so that other people in our house said, oh, both lights are working. Have we got two lights out the back? Yeah. And he came to repair it, and he came and said, oh, that's it, fixed. I'm like, how come you've not gone away? You've not got another fitting, you know, or anything like that? He said, the light fitting inside, it was loose. It was sitting in it, but it's not connected properly. Now, I've looked at that. I've got to say another electrician's looked at that as well, so that's my out, innit? You know, there it was with all the components in place, but it did not and could not shine. When the darkness came, it could not shine. When somebody walked past, it could not shine. Why? Because it wasn't connected. I want to ask you, are you connected to the glory of God? Are you arising and shining? Are you consciously making that step, or are you allowing yourself to sit where you are? All the components are there, but it's sitting dormant, not achieving its purpose. I'm going to come down, but I still want his arising, okay? Says he moving carefully so he doesn't fall. There are three lights that's here. One that's off with a bulb missing. One that's shining dimly, and because this is a fairly light room, then you can't see it. But if this place was blacked out, then you'd be able to see that light going. And one light which is up on the ceiling that can be seen. I want to ask for a rising and shining, and let the glory of God rise on you. Where are you right now? Which light fitting are you? How bright is your shine where you are? How bright is it going to be in this year? Are you going to make some changes to allow the light of God to come? You see, we're called to rise and shine. The Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. There is something about authentic glory where ones who are far off begin to see something and begin to shine. Now, I want to dazzle some of you. Not just with my brilliant personality and character. I want to let the light catch something and just begin to shine. Hopefully it's not too bright in your eyes. I don't apologize, otherwise I wouldn't be doing it really, would I? But I want something of the glory of God to come. I want you to see that as you shine for him, that you too can make a difference for the kingdom of God. Where are you rising? How are you rising? Are you willing to rise? How bright is your shine? How well are you reflecting the glory of God? As we draw our time to a close, and thank you for listening so well this morning. Vision Sunday is always a busy and full morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes, a glory that surpasses the glory of the Old Testament and the glory of the law. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he says, how much more glorious is the ministry of the Spirit. How much more glory-filled is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Time isn't going to allow us and permit us to go to that scripture, but check it out during the week. But in the chapter that goes on from it is one of the scriptures that I really, really love, where it talks about treasures and jars of clay, where the excellency of his power may be seen thereof. We may think that we're fragile. We may think we've not got much. We may think that we're actually a little bit broken, but the more that you're broken, then the better that the light shines out. Yeah. Broken before the Lord also means being healed before the Lord as well. Some questions for you to consider, some questions for us to think about as church in this next 12 months. We don't need to come up with all the answers right now, but they do need to be on our radar. And these are going to be framing some of the preaching that we're going to be engaged in the next little while. Question to consider based on Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 to 3. Where am I sleeping? If I have to arise and shine, and the imagery is of me getting up out of my bed because it's wakey-wakey time, it's morning. Are there areas of my life that are dormant and sleeping? Could be a gifting or a calling from God. Could be a relationship with the Lord that has become distant and become cold. Where am I sleeping? Is there a duvet and a blanket of sin that's over us? It's maybe stopping you reaching your potential in Jesus. Question number two. What does the step up of a rise look like in your life? It may be a little change, but it may be a big step. What does step up of a rise look like in your life? What maybe needs to change? Be altered, be removed from your life, reorientated in your life to let that step up of a rise actually happen. Number three, what is and where is the darkness that needs light? In your life, in my life, also in the life of this city. Where is the darkness that needs light? That's why we're involved with Teen Challenge, because the darkness of addiction, we want to see it broken in the name of Jesus. It's why we do things that are witnessing and evangelism and training days, like being involved in Surge, being involved in the Engage Day in March, and you know, and other opportunities. Because we want to see darkness going and the light of Jesus coming. What will pierce that darkness? What does it look like when that darkness is pierced? Can we in faith begin to envisage a day where the shining light causes others to come from darkness into light? Can we release a gift of faith in our life to begin to believe for what will pierce that darkness? I mean, we know Jesus is the answer, but you're the answer as you're the light of the world. Asking the question, number five, how bright is my shine? And asking that on a regular basis. How bright is my shine? Number six, how do I steward the unstewardable of the glory of God? You can't harness the glory of God, yet he invites us to experience it and to live in it. So how do I steward the unstewardable? But there are things that we can do that are attractive to the manifest presence of the Lord God Almighty. How do we steward the unstewardable? And how do we not be afraid of the glory of God in our life or in our corporate time together and for our city? And from that verse in verses 3 that talks about kings and nations, and in verses 4, far off sons and daughters. Any prodigals that need to come home? We know any? Any sons and daughters? For me, that's that verse and that scripture begins to talk about, it talks about favor, it talks about influence, it talks about blessings coming to the people of God when they begin to shine, when they begin to arise and to shine the Lord's glory in his life. So what will I believe for? Will I believe for the favor, the blessing, and the influence of the Lord over my life, and I'll be able to speak into some situations, that I will see his favor, I will see his goodness, I will see people coming from afar and coming to bow their knee before King Jesus? We're inviting you to consider, we're inviting you to reflect, and we're inviting you to respond. And as you go out this morning, you will receive from the stewards one of the cards that has got this key scripture on it, in the front of it, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But on the back of it, there are three statements. Number one is the invitation to step into the Lord's light. Number two is the challenge to shine his glory in the darkness. And number three is the possibility to see many drawn to his presence. But there's also a space down there for my response. Because I do want you to consider. I do want you to think. Your own life, the life of us as church together, and the life of our church in this city. Your response. Think about it, pray about it, fill it in. Let us know. Email it into the office, gordon@edinburghelam.com. Let us know what you're feeling God saying. It's a great time to be alive in God. Great time to be a part of this church. Great time to be living in this city and in this nation. Arise and shine. Arise and shine, church. Arise and shine. Let's pray. Worship team are going to come back, lead us in one final song, and then we'll be out shining in our week. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, in these moments, we just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, to filter out the things that's of man and of Gordon. Because, Lord, what we want is you. And, Lord, what we want is you highlighting the areas and the things in our life where you call us out and you call us to. And, Father, right now we invite you to highlight and to show something of your glory, something of your presence in our lives, Lord. To reveal to us the areas, Lord, where you want us to step into, and also the areas, Lord, where you want us to step away from. Father, in these moments, we pray for your light to shine on our life, that we would say yes and that we would chase, we would follow, we would be in that place where you are shining. Because where your glory is, there you are, Lord. In these moments of stillness and of quietness, Lord, we bring our own life to you. Lord, I can't speak for others. I can only speak for my life. But Lord, I pray that there would be prayers of commitment, prayers of invitation that are ascending to heaven right now, saying, Father, shine your light. I choose to arise. I choose to shine for you. Say, thank you, Lord, that your glory has come. Thank you, Lord, that your glory rises and rests upon our life. Lord, help us to shine for you. Help us to reflect and radiate the goodness and the love of King Jesus that was sacrificial, that is eternal. And everything that we say and everything that we do, help us, Lord, in our lives to be signposts that point, floodlights that point the way to the Savior of the world, to King Jesus, and how people can be forgiven, how they can turn from their old life and the sin of their life and their hurt and the shame and the pain of it, and how they can find a new life living in the light and the goodness and the glory of God. Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, team.